Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cake Bake Talks, where I talk all things Big Brother, life, and everything in between. Today we're back to the cast of Big Brother 2000, talking about the house guest's first week in the Big Brother house. Before we jump into that, I wanted to throw it back to last week and clear up a few things I've learned since then, and add some more context. Last week, when we saw Ian going around the house, and later saw the house guests enter, I assumed they were entering directly from outside. After seeing other shots, I realized that there was at least a hallway leading into that door. Even though I haven't yet watched the eviction episode, I did a little digging and found it does in fact lead outside, but there's a bit of a corridor between the house door and the door to outside. Another thing I was confused by was what they brought their stuff in, which we do see them unpacking their regular suitcases in one of the episodes, but more on that later. I am still hopeful that we get to learn what's in the briefcases they brought. These next couple things are something I'd like to maybe deep dive or mini dip into after I finish my coverage of the season. In the end of the last episode, I mentioned trying to figure out the song at the end. I was thinking of the trend in the mid to late 2000s of using pop songs at the end of shows, so I just assumed it was a real song. I realized after hearing it in other episodes, it was the same tune in the beginning credit, just with words. The song was called Live and was written and performed by Jonathan Clark. As I said, I'll possibly go more into that later on, but I just wanted to clear up my own confusion and potential stupidity for assuming it was a real song. Frankly, it reminded me of some of the Phil Collins songs in Tarzan, so I think that's why it seemed familiar. And I also forgot another key trope from the early 2000s media, which was a good and catchy theme song. RIP to those. Last, I wanted to talk about something I 100% want to dive into more later. When I recorded my first intro pod, I created my own bios just off of details I could find. I completely overlooked the section in the wiki with their bios as it wasn't clearly shown and hidden within a link. Because I initially couldn't find that, I just assumed they didn't do bios like CBS does now. Upon further digging and some handy help from the Wayback Machine, I was able to pull their complete bios from the Big Brother 2000 website. There's more information than seems necessary, such as their height, weight, and complete astrology breakdown. I'd love to break down all the information remaining on that page, as well as what happens when you try to go to the original link, and some more information on that. So let me know if that's something you'd find interesting and I might do it before the season ends. I personally love old media and I really fell down a rabbit hole with this. Okay, after that not so quick detour, let's get into episodes 2 through 6. I'm going to go through each episode sequentially, but as always, the format could change later on. I don't want to get too long-winded with these, and also may eventually get tired of notating every little thing in the episodes, but for now we're sticking with it. I'm enjoying seeing little hints of a time gone by and the quirky human behaviors that still remain in our modern Big Brother players. I think that's really unique for this kind of scenario because they are real people. You get to see those real behaviors. I love old sitcoms, but at the end of the day, that's a character show. So I'm getting a different perspective from a time I personally don't remember. So we're going to kick it off with episode 2. This episode aired on July 6, 2000. I don't think I said before the premiere was on July 5th, but this episode came out on the 6th, which was a Thursday. I don't know why, I just felt like I had to include the day of the week for it, and it will kind of become important when we talk about an episode airing on Saturday, because I found a new show airing on Saturday to be kind of odd. Anyway, this episode kicks off with a little bit of a spooky intro. You see the cameras showing the house. You can hear the whirring, I don't know if that's the right word, of the cameras, and that actually continues through the episodes. Occasionally you'll just hear the cameras move, which is a really small detail, but I found it kind of interesting because it's not something we hear anymore. There's also a narrator, and for a long time when I was taking notes, I was writing down everything he said, and I realized it got really redundant. But anyway, this narrator is this kind of monotone, it nowadays would almost sound like an AI voice, and just says the most basic, bland sentence to set up the scene. It's almost like stage direction. So it's super weird, and I had no expectation that it was going to be there going into it. Obviously, we have the narrator now, but he's a little bit more exciting. He's like a game show host. He's Big Brother. So this was a totally different type of narrator or type of voice. So anyway, the narrator kicks the episode off and says, "The house guests enter the house." food is set at the table for them, and they start looking around and pointing things out. Someone points out that the house looks like an IKEA showroom. Cassandra says that they have a miniature pool, and we do really see it later on. It is a very tiny pool. George and some others go out and see the chickens, which I, of course, loved. You see Jordan exploring the house and just kind of checking stuff out, taking stuff in. And at one point, they're walking in the hallway and the camera is just following them. And they're crouching down, moving around. They're kind of messing around with the camera, but also kind of creeped out by it. You can really tell. And one of my favorite things, and I think I point out a lot of things Eddie does, A, because, sorry, spoiler, he wins. But he also cracks me up. I kind of love him. So Eddie lays down at one point just flat on his stomach and dunks his head in the pool. Just straight up. He says, I'm going to check out the pool. And that's exactly what he does. So we come back from a commercial break and the house guests are getting to know each other. They, of course, do the classic champagne toast with introductions. So I won't go through everything everybody says, but some things that I feel like will come up later might matter to the story. Overarching issue, theme, whatever you want to say, throughout this is Will, who actually he goes first and introduces himself as Will Mega, or they just decide he's going to be Mega. So Cassandra's going through her introduction, says she's from New York. Will automatically assumes and says, oh, you're from Harlem. She says, no, I live in Midtown Manhattan. And he makes a little bit of a comment about saying, oh, you're the token person in your neighborhood. During George's introduction, he's talking about feeling a little bit bad about leaving his family, and Will makes a comment about him being a deadbeat dad who's run out on his family. He's obviously joking, but it's still just like, why did you have to say that? He makes another comment about the show casting people for the intent for them to hook up to each other. Honestly, a bit ahead of his time for that. Another thing is Jordan talks about doing the Ironman. Their best event is biking. Just a really random thing, but I liked hearing that. I think that's really awesome that they did that. And Jamie talks about her internet startup that she's working for, which I guess that explains the .com company thing at the premiere episode that I kind of got hung up on. There is no indication as to what that is or was. I even looked online, was trying to see if maybe she worked for Google back in the day, but I cannot find that. And Eddie talks a little bit more about his bone cancer and kind of the effects that's had on him as a child and as a grown man. So then we see the house guests begin to pick out their beds. Will has moved into the girls' room and this kind of bothers Karen. She says a comment about it and there's a little bit of a back and forth and he ends up going out of the room because the girls just decide they want to be together. So he just kind of stalks off in the direction of the boys' room. Another little thing I want to say here, I really am trying to avoid making assumptions about their tone, how they feel, that kind of thing, because there are no diary rooms. Obviously, we know that house guests lie in their diary rooms, whatever, but there is no indication as to what's going on in their mind. So I think I see something, but I have no idea whether or not it's what's happening or what the show is portraying. Having not been a casual for a really long time, I'm really struggling with that. I tried to find forums indicating like what was going on in the live feeds, things like that. So I say all that to say in my notes, I like wrote that Will kind of strides off sassily, whatever you want to say. But at the end of the day, he could have just decided he wanted to leave, that the girls wanted to be together. He was fine about it. Obviously, we'll learn a little bit more about Will, and maybe he wasn't fine about it. Maybe he liked to cause the drama, but that's just my soapbox, and something that really is hard for me during these is the lack of diary rooms, live feeds, anything like that, to know really what's going on and what's possibly going through the house guest heads. We're back from a commercial break, and the women are getting to know each other. Brittany is pulling stuff out of her suitcase, and we see her pull out a book. I, of course, automatically assume it's a Bible, but no, it is a book of dreams. I also at first thought when she said dream book, she meant like a dream journal, so not only is this a book, it's something she can write in. No, still no writing. That is discussed later on. But she does have a book of dream meanings, and they talk a little bit about Jordan has a reoccurring dream of her teeth falling out and what that means. But I'm just really hung up on the fact that they got to bring outside books. Because for me, one of the main reasons I could never apply to be on Big Brother is the complete lack of books. So now I'm like, well, I really missed my shot being a year old in 2000, and I could have been on Big Brother and brought a book. But I digress. Eddie's talking with Karen and George out in the backyard about whether or not they think they're going to run out of things to talk about with each other over this time period. And I really love that Eddie brings up the play Our Town. I have had to read this play multiple times in my education and through theater classes and things like that. So really seeing that he is a theater minor. And he just kind of uses this to talk about a conversation in the play of these two characters talking about the same worries of running out of things to talk about in their marriage and how they reflect on it. They realize that they never did. He says that they can't really run out of things to talk about. They're always going to have their memories, things they know. Of course, they can't talk current events because they don't know about it. Honestly, that's probably for the best. But they have a, and this is his quote, a Rolodex of your mind to talk about. Another little hint into the world it existed in. A Rolodex is obviously not something we see anymore, but I really appreciated that phrase and kind of want to add it to my own speak in the day today. Eddie also talks a little bit about a sense of bad vibes between Cassandra and Will. Karen makes a mention to a Robert in comparison to Will. I automatically, in the moment, assumed it was her husband that she was referring to, but his name is Tom. So I wonder if this was potentially an alternate house guest, but it seems like they met them, which is even more interesting. So no idea where that came in, could not find much about that. Our narrator informs us that Big Brother has left an encoded message for the house guest. And the message says something about Ben Franklin to the west of the lemon tree. So the house guests decide to go outside and look around the lemon tree and realize they're going to need to dig underneath the lemon tree in the garden. But since it's past sunset, they don't know exactly where west is. Of course, they want to use the sun to figure that out. They decide to wait until the morning. This is another situation where there's mention of purchasing their groceries, but still no mention of what exactly that entails. And I'm gonna spoil the end here. I'm never gonna figure it out in this episode you're listening to. Anyway, we come back from a commercial break and the girls are talking in the bedroom. There's discussion of the limited hot water and they say they're probably just gonna shower as little as possible. And then we see Eddie actually decide to take a shower, but he is standing in there and his head's over the top. And like we saw Ian in the premiere, he calls it a shower for midgets and says that the shower head only comes up to his chest. Following this, we see Karen go into the red room, which she's the first house guest we see enter this red room, a diary room, whatever you want to call it. And she talks a little bit about how she's missing her kids, but that's really all we see of that clip. The episode ends and the narrator says that Big Brother continues tomorrow. And we see the house guests in their beds under the nightlight and the credits roll. All right, and now we're on to episode 3, which aired Friday, July 7th, 2000. The show opens, showing the backyard. We hear the chickens and see George come out to check on them. It's time to dig for the challenge prize now, and they dig under the lemon tree, or to the west of the lemon tree, and they find a $100 bill. George asked Josh to explain a little bit about how he did decipher the puzzle so quickly, because he really did. I didn't talk about that before, but he was really quick with that. And Josh explains it, and none of it makes sense to me, so I do not write it down. We see that George is unpacking his suitcase, and we see him pull out some pictures and some notes from his family. And then we go over to some more introductions at breakfast, where Brittany talks a little bit about her work in pharmaceutical sales. And we see George get choked up talking about his family. And when he tries to kind of relate with Karen, as they're both married with kids, she just says, "I won't go there." After a break, we go to the same clip from the last episode of Karen in the red room talking about her family. Of course, she's still talking about missing her kids, but she goes on to say she doesn't miss her husband. They did not have a good send-off, and there was a little bit of a conflict before she went into the house. We switch it over to the girls and they're talking a little bit about beauty, and the narrator mentions that the others don't know that Jamie is Miss Washington. So Karen's talking a little bit how she hates beauty pageants and would never let her kids participate. Jamie agrees that kids shouldn't be involved, and she makes mention to the JonBenet Ramsey case, which would have only been a few years prior to this. But she says that it's fine for women over 18, though, as they have the opportunity to potentially pay their way through school, and there's more of a reward for personality than just looks. Our next clip is of Jordan and Jamie talking, and Jamie has learned about Jordan's night job. This has never actually seen the conversation of the telling of the job, just the aftermath. It's just that the narrator tells us that this has happened. I'm also going to take a second here to say it may seem like I am just jumping from clip to clip, but that's 100% how the episode airs. You're doing one thing, scene change, the narrator tells you what's going on, it's another thing. It's kind of trippy. Anyway, we begin to hear the house guests talk a little bit about how they don't have a clock in the house, which confirmed my earlier confusion about whether there might be one on the microwave or the stove. And this is when the day two challenge is introduced. They have to build a clock. So they have 5 minutes to build this clock, and failure means waiting, I guess, a week to do it again. The hint in the clue says that batteries can be found in the garden. The instructions also are not allowed to leave the red room. So some of them stay in and they're working on this clock, and some of them go out to the garden to potentially dig for some batteries. We see them end up building a potato clock, but the show never gives any explanation as to who figured this out, how they figured it out. It was just, here's the instructions, okay, we're done. We see some folks come out and grab the people in the backyard, say we figured it out. Eddie's plugging it in, putting it all together. Boom, there it is. When I tell you this stuff is jumpy, it's really jumpy. We come back from commercial break to Will and Cassandra talking about Will's behavior and how he's pushing people's boundaries a bit. She tells him that he's kind of using everybody for his own entertainment, and he says that these are just his reindeer games. That is his quote, and I really hope he's getting a bag from CBS for Big Brother reindeer games, because obviously he coined it first. So we see Will go out to Karen and give her a pack of cigarettes. He says he brought them to manipulate people, but she's the only one who smokes. He just goes on and gives them to her. We see the girls talking, and they decide to give Karen a bit of a makeover with some of the wigs that Brittany's brought. So we see Karen put on a little black braided wig with some pale face makeup and a purple heart-shaped lip. Jamie's the one doing her makeup, and she says they're going to give her, quote, an Asian look, which is a little bit of a yikes. But to me, it looks like the clown from Big Comfy Couch, so not that there was a mark to hit. She didn't hit it. But it is still a really funny clip. We see George putting on the wig and a hat and some shades, and he's doing a little bit of a chicken dance with Will while balking like a chicken. And this is the first time we get to hear somebody call him Chicken George. As this happens, the credit rolls and the episode ends. So episode 4 is a bit of a weird one. This one aired on a Saturday, July 18th, 2000, and it was an hour-long episode. Few weird things about this, of course, airing on a Saturday was surprising to me, just because I don't think there's typically many new shows on Saturdays. That's not really primetime television. And even when I found a potentially not super reliable source, but an idea of what the guide would have looked like on a Saturday night around that time, it was mostly reruns and like sketch comedy or goofy clip shows. And this kind of falls into line with that. The first half an hour of the episode, at least what I'm assuming would be a half an hour because I'm watching on Paramount and it just breaks it down into the 40 something minutes without commercials. The first 30 minutes are just a recap of the episodes before. Straight just clips from the previous couple episodes, and honestly, I feel like I could have just watched this one episode and gotten the gist. And I bet they recap the following episodes in The Eviction, though that's just a guess. There is some new stuff, so after a commercial break, mind you, there's been at least two commercial breaks during this recap, but after a commercial break, we come back to some more relationship talk over some dinner prep. Karen's talking a little bit more about her husband and how she feels like he's no longer in love with her, she's no longer in love with him. There's mention of a miscarriage that she experienced, and this does seem to be a potential cause of some early tension. She's somebody who wants a lot of intimacy and physical touch, and that's not something that he's comfortable with. And she talks about when somebody asks, you know, has he always been this way? She says, yeah, he's always been really controlling. A really recent issue with them was on the previous Mother's Day. he had mentioned to their son that he had only married her because he felt sorry for her. And at the end, she says that he had told her not to talk about their marital issues and a potential split on the show due to the perception at work. Really wild just to completely go against that. Like, I get your frustrations with your husband, sis, but also super wild to hear her just air this all out, even though I knew it was coming. Another, like, of the time pin drop I wanted to drop in this is during this conversation, she's talking about why she married him, things like that. And she mentions that she didn't go to college, and she knew that as a young person and kind of working into her career, she would never really make more than $10 to $12 an hour with a degree. Very wild to me. $10 to $12 is what I was making in high school. So, very, very different time. Not that I make a lot of money now, but still so much more money than $10 to $12. Anyway, in that little tangent of mine, we come back from a commercial break and more confrontation with Will. Brittany and Will are talking, and she's telling him that she doesn't always like him. So they decide to plan a date. He wants her to dress up, and he's really pushing this. He wants her to change her hair, and she's really pushing back. So they end up deciding that they're both just going to do whatever they want to do. You want to change clothes? Great. I don't want to change clothes? Great. We never see this date pan out. Whether this is something that did actually happen, it was seen on the feeds, I don't know, but the episode never shows this, air quotes here, date that they plan. But later, there's a conversation with Will and Brittany involved, and the others are kind of all standing in the kitchen, and Will makes a little bit of a comment to Brittany about her thighs being visible under her, like, nightgown, dress, whatever she has on. She says she doesn't really like him making comments like that, but he says, well, her grinding on the other girls makes him uncomfortable. So they have a little bit of a back and forth, and he refers to her at one point as the queen of one-liners, which I thought was pretty cute. Will and Brittany, at least to me at this point in the episode, almost have, if you watched Big Brother 27, kind of a Rachel and Keanu kind of vibe, because they have some really funny, cute moments, and like this planning of this date to then this kind of Big Brother 2000 equivalent to a fight. So far, I've not seen anything that would resemble a fight like we see in modern Big Brother, but there are some little tiffs. So we see Will go into the red room, and this is one of the few times, at least thus far, that we get to see a house guest talk about their perception of the house and the other folks in the house. So Will talks about Eddie and how he keeps to himself. He says Josh is cool and Curtis is boring, probably won't last long. He refers to George, of course, as Chicken George. He says Cassandra's reserved, not there for nonsense, and is also boring. And this is another, like, Will, Brittany lore moment. He says he really likes Brittany's spunk, that she's herself and she's witty. He does find her irritating because she's long-winded, but he says he's also long-winded, so it evens out, I guess. And then he says Karen has mental problems, and he's not sure how she passed the psych test. Another little bit of insight into casting and the process that they even went through the psych test back then. And then we've got a little bit of a clip of Eddie and George working out. George does like 2 crunches and then just lays there while Eddie keeps going. There's some more talk between the girls about their partners, their boyfriends, and we see a really fun clip of Will and Jordan leading a backyard Big Brother aerobics class is what George coins it. I really enjoyed this. Again, just really, I like Will. I think he's really funny. Obviously, he's needling the house guests a lot, but in these little clips, I really enjoyed his humor and kind of the way he interacts with some people. There will obviously be some more things that come up, but overall, I personally liked Will, and I think he was, and this is not a direct quote from me, something I read in a Reddit thread kind of talking about this time. He was playing Big Brother before Big Brother was playing Big Brother. Like, if Will came back today, I think he would be a much more entertaining and potentially love-hate kind of character. Whereas back then, that wasn't, I think, what people were expecting in a show such as this. Anyway, after our last commercial break, we see the house guests did their day challenge. This is to make plaster face masks of each other. Eddie's the first to get the plaster, and he refers to himself as a guinea pig. And at one point during this, he's got his mic clipped to his nipple. very random, but also, okay, whatever. Because now, usually, we see the guys, if they're shirtless, they've just got it wrapped around their neck. But he went with a unique choice, so respect. And then, during kind of this plastering, we see Will hitting on Jamie in the backyard. She's laying out, letting the plaster dry. He makes a comment about how he's not going to vote her out because he needs something beautiful to look at. Obviously, she can't respond. She's got the plaster on her face. She can't leave. So it was a little bit of a creepy comment. I didn't really appreciate that. Obviously, I just said I liked him, but this to me was a little bit crossing a line. So with that, we finish out that episode and we're into episode 5, which aired on Monday, July 10th. And with these, we're back into the 30-minute episodes. The episode starts with Jordan talking to Josh about their then-boyfriend, Ben, and how they feel like they're not as in love with him anymore. This is a very wild conversation to me because nothing in their intro package, anything along the way, gave me any indication that there was strife in this relationship, and they're just out here talking about it on national television. So pretty messy. Even, I would say, by today's standards, granted, Cheat Mance just happened, so who am I to judge? Before the commercial break, we see a little clip of Brittany crying, and the narrator tells us we're gonna find out why. So we come back from this commercial break. Jordan is in the pool talking about how they're kind of interested in girls. The guys, of course, are giggling. This is, you know, such a scandalous conversation. And Curtis makes mention of whether or not they're interested in multiples. There's also a little bit of a flirty jazz music playing as Jordan and Josh are kind of playing footsie in the pool. So I guess indication of a little bit of a flirtmance, possible cheatmance, let's be real, going on between these two. And then we're inside and William and Cassandra are talking. He's talking about where he feels like he stands with the other house guests and that he feels like he could be picked to be banished. And then we see George come in with a limp chicken, and this chicken has gotten their head stuck in the fencing. This, of course, goes back to the Brittany crying segment. Will is really bothered by everybody crying and worrying over this chicken, says they're eating dead animals all the time, they're gonna come back in, they're gonna eat dead animals. He's just sitting at the table kind of grumping to himself, or what we would call now as camera talking. But we see Brittany and George and a few others sitting with the chicken in the red room, and they're kind of taking care of it. There's potential that the chicken has already passed, but the narrator comes in and says that the house guests were told to leave the chicken in the red room and it was taken for care. After a commercial break, the narrator tells us that the chicken was brought back to the red room in a cage and the house guests were provided instructions on how to nurse her back to health. She's supposed to be given eye drops twice a day for the next 3 to 4 days and left in this little cage for the first 24 hours separated from the other hens. But they do bring her out in her cage to see her friends, and all the other hens come up and are checking her out. It's really cute, and George refers to it as a Kodak moment. And after this, we see Will. It's the next morning, I believe. He is setting up the table. He's flipped the chairs up on top of the table, placed the masks they'd made the previous day onto the tops of the chairs, set a couple vases of flowers in the center, and lit a candle. He later tells Karen when she comes in that that candle cannot be blown out. There's also an exercise ball that he's placed on the floor at the head of the table. He says he was given instructions from the Red Room that he had to do this, and now they have until the end of the day to figure out why. So Karen asks, you know, can I just go in and see this? And he says, yeah, go ask the Red Room about it. So she goes in, talks to production, and they tell her, no, this isn't a thing. We didn't set this up. This clip ends. There's no real follow-up, but the narrator does say, by fabricating the challenge, William has deliberately compromised the house guest's trust in Big Brother. And after this, the narrator tells us that on Mondays, the house guests receive a weekly challenge to complete by the end of the week, and they must wager 20 to 50% of their grocery money. This week's challenge is called Dead or Alive. The house guests are given names of notable people, and they have to, at the end of the week, be able to tell who in this list of celebrities that they're given, who is still alive and who is dead. It seems like they're really going to have to rely on each other's knowledge of this information because maybe not everybody's going to know. They end up deciding they're going to go on and wager 20% of their money. Another small and tiny clip I appreciated was we just see the house guests doing some yard work, and we see see Curtis pushing an old-fashioned rotary mower. Not something I ever remember seeing as the house guests doing yard work. I'm pretty sure they have, like, AstroTurf now. We see them painting the injured chicken's claws with a blue nail polish so they can tell it apart from the other hens once they put it back in the coop. There's mention that the nail polish color is called Lucky. At the end of the episode, Will is confronted by Big Brother in the Red Room about the prank challenge that he played and told he must confess or he's going to be removed due to rule breaking. And now we're into our last episode. This was episode 6, which aired on Tuesday, July 11th, 2000. We start off with seeing the house guests going through the names that they've been given for the challenge and trying to figure out who's dead, who's alive. And Will comes back from the Red Room and tells them that God told him he needed to confess to his prank. This is never mentioned again, and this is a pretty short clip. No real follow-up here. We see Eddie complaining to Brittany about Jordan, saying that Jordan has been, quote, knocking on models, but they know that his girlfriend is a model, so that's really kind of rubbing him the wrong way. And they've also made comments about him potentially not liking them, and Brittany just says, you know, you need to go talk it out. We kick it over to another clip of the house guests hanging out in the living room. The narrator says that the house guests are talking about women's sexuality, and the only person that knows about Jordan's job is Jamie. There's talk about implants, and Jordan's talking about the effect that that has, not just on the person with them, but how others perceive their own bodies, things like that. And they talk about how women can use their bodies to earn tips as a waitress, but this is viewed negatively if they were to do it as a stripper. Josh makes a comment about how he doesn't like the idea that his little niece could grow up to be a stripper, but he also understands that that's something some people have to do to make money. And this section kind of ends with a little bit of awkward silence. We come back from a break, and the narrator says there's, quote, racial tension heating up in the kitchen. This is an argument I really didn't take a lot of notes on, because this very much goes back to what I said at the beginning. I have no idea what's running through their heads. Any of the backstory for this, I'm gonna be honest, none of these conversations that they bring up in this argument were shown in the episode, so I have no idea whose perception on any of this is correct. So I'm very hesitant to dissect this. They're really just arguing about Will's behavior. Tying back to the racial tensions thing, she says that he's made a comment that she's got a token black friend, that's kind of why she's only friends with this person. And he says there's some conversation about how his behavior is, and he says he's just trying to be a positive reflection for black men on television. So really, overall, I could not tell you who I sided with in that argument, because there were things that both of them said that I was like, then there were other things where I was like, okay, you're right. So it's just very hard. Even if it were just a regular episode, like the episodes are now, with a diary room, there would be a little bit more backstory. There is absolutely no backstory to this argument, and I found it very frustrating, especially if you're gonna lead in with the racial tensions thing. But that's just my personal opinion on that. And then that's over. We jump to a new clip. Will and Jordan are joking around in the bathroom. He's teasing her that she's got a little bit of a flat butt. So they're doing a little bit of a bit where they're comparing their butts in the mirror. And this is kind of a running joke for, it seems like, a little while, because there's another clip of him coming in and making the same comment about her butt later on. But it seems 100% lighthearted. Jordan kind of plays back into it, and this is one of the clips that made me still really like Will. I just think he seems like a really funny and joking person who just really likes to rile people up. And then we see Jamie talking with Curtis and Josh. She reveals that she is currently Miss Washington. This is Curtis' first time learning it, but Josh has apparently already known this for like 3 days. After our last commercial break and going into the credit, we see Eddie and Jordan talking about their issues. Jordan says they didn't mean any harm by their comments. They just really want to get to know him. So he says, you know, I'm here for the money, the experience, and for his business. So that's where the episode ends. Next week, we'll get into the banishment episode and get to see a little bit about how that varies from our modern Big Brother evictions. I really appreciate you guys taking a listen, and I hope that wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, you have a wonderful day, night, week, month, or year. Bye-bye, and I'll talk to you next time.